यमुनातीरावणाचारी यमुनातीरावणाचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना वीरावनचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी 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 जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्रीमत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन संस्थापक आचार्य शील प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय व्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की जय मथुरा द्वारका धाम की जय मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की भागवत धर्म की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैस्तिकी श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 12 टाइटल ध्रुव महाराज गोज बैक टू गॉडहेड टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 తను దేవ ప్రవారో చతుర్భుజో శ్యామో కిశోరౌ అరుణ అంబుజ ఇక్షణో స్థితౌ అవస్థాభ్యా గదాం సువాససో కిరీట హార అంగద చారు కుండలౌ తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజౌ శ్యామౌ కిశోరౌ అరుణంబుజేక్షణౌ స్థితౌ అవస్థాభ్య గదాం సువాససౌ కిరీటహారం గదచారు కుండలో తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజో శ్యామో కిశోరా వరుణాంబుజేక్షణో స్థితౌ అవస్థాభ్య గదాం సువాససౌ కిరీటహారం గదచారు కుండలో తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజో శ్యామో కిశోరా వరుణాంబుజేక్షణో స్థితావస్థాభ్య గదాం సువాససౌ కిరీటహారం గదచారు కుండలో తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ
తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజౌ శ్యామౌ కిశోరౌ అరుణాంబుజేక్షణౌ స్థితావస్థాభ్య గదాం సువాససౌ కిరీటహారాం గదచారు తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజౌ శ్యామౌ కిశోరావరుణాంబుజేక్షణౌ
తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజౌ శ్యామౌ కిశోరా వరుణాంబుజేక్షణౌ తత్రాను దేవా ప్రవరౌ చతుర్భుజౌ శ్యామౌ కిశోరా వరుణాంబుజేక్షణౌ స్థితావస్థాభ్య గదాం సువాససౌ కిరీటారంగద చారుకుండలో. మాతాజీ తత్రానుదేవా ప్రవరో చతుర్భుజో
శ్యామో కిశోరాంబుజేషణ
తత్రా దేర్ అను దెన్ దేవ ప్రవరో టూ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ డెమిగాడ్స్ చతుర్భుజో విత్ ఫోర్ ఆర్మ్స్ శ్యామో బ్లాకిష్ కిశోరో క్వైట్ యంగ్ అరుణ రెడిష్ అంబుజ లోటస్ ఫ్లవర్ ఇక్షణో విత్ ఐస్ సితో సిచ్యువేటెడ్ అవస్థాభ్య హోల్డింగ్ గదాం క్లబ్స్ సువాససో విత్ నైస్ గార్మెంట్స్ కిరీట హెల్మెట్స్ హార నెక్లెసెస్ అంగద బ్రేస్లెట్స్ చారు బ్యూటిఫుల్ కుండలో విత్ ఇయరింగ్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ సా టూ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ అసోసియేట్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఇన్ ద ప్లేన్. They had four hands and a blackish bodily luster. They were very youthful and their eyes were just like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets and earrings. The inhabitants of Vishnu Loka are of the same bodily feature as Lord Vishnu, and they also hold club, conch shell, lotus flower and disc. In this verse, it is distinctly stated that they had four hands and were nicely dressed. The description of their bodily decorations corresponds exactly to that of Vishnu. So the two uncommon personalities who descended from the airplane came directly from Vishnu Lok, or the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురు వైష్ణవంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసైతం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాం సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం చ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినే ఇతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వంశ కల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ ఆసింధూయ ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరత్విసే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామో హరే రామో 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 హరే హరే. Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of Lord Vishnu in the plain. They had four hands and a blackish bodily luster. They were very youthful and their eyes were just like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands and they were dressed in very attractive garments with helmets and were decorated with necklaces, bracelets and earrings. So seeking blessings from all who are here, making an attempt to speak on this chapter, this verse. Thank you very much for coming. So in this chapter, particularly this verse, it gives a vivid description of what Dhruva Maharaj could see directly through his eyes. It's like an aeroplane descending and two such effulgent personalities, and what they were wearing, what their eyes were, what garments they had, what ornaments they had. He could see it directly. And what to see, he could talk to them. They could speak to them. Now, one sense, when people hear this, obviously they say, this is mythology. This is some type of imagination, because this is not possible, because we have no experience like this. So this is divine vision, the perfection of life which we all are seeking. Now we are trying to see through these mortal eyes, this piece of flesh and this transparent cornea, what we can see. But we should not forget that to develop this vision, what Dhruva Maharaj had, we should know that how was his life. It was not life very smooth. He had his own struggle, own challenges. Then his determination. He was so focused. So very early in his life, now this is what many times is, why so early? Why so early? This is the reason, because this has to be started very early in life. We don't tell someone, go to school at 20 years. You can wait till 20 years, then you can join first standard. Does this sound something nice? Even to go to school, you have to go at a particular age. This is the age to go to school. So similarly, spiritual life, why it should be started very early is because it's a very long process. It needs a lot of things to be planned and cultivated, cultured. And then, when everything is mature, at the right time that Divya Chakshu opens up, by the Lord's mercy, you can see. But in Dhruva Maharaj's case, the unique thing is he had already had darshan at the age of 5 years. He had already seen the Lord. But after seeing the Lord, he was full of regret. Why did he have to have these desires? He should have gone back immediately. Because he had that desire, the Lord said, no, now you have to rule for 36,000 years. But how did he rule? That is more important. When you have such opulence, such facilities, but not for a moment he had deviated from what was the focus, what he... So he lived a life in spite of all that success, never ever giving up. And then when at the right time came, see, this is very important, when at the right time came, he was all prepared. In spite of all the opulences, he was just out. He left. This is what is Vedic culture, why children are sent very early. Even if the king's sons, they are sent to the Gurukul because they learn how to live a simple life, how to live a very submissive life, how to live a life of dependence, how to live an austere life. So because he was already trained. So when he takes up his father's inheritance as king, he has his experience of living a life like that. And when at the right time comes and the focus is there, he is detached. He just walks out. There's no question about it. It's not so easy to give up family attachment. No? What to speak about all the material possessions and all the opulence what you have. But because he was already trained. So this is the story of Dhruva Maharaj is now the last climax. These are the last few the verses. This is what is the real climax of every spiritual seeker. Nowadays art of living is very popular. But no one talks about what is the art of living. This is the art of leaving this world. Now once Mukunda Swami, he was saying, I just heard one line, he said, you know what is the most amazing thing in this world? Now, when we say most amazing thing in this world, there will be so many things to talk about. But for a person who has a spiritual consciousness, or one who is very detached, he would say that the most amazing thing in this world is this Baddha Jeev, which is actually said Nitya Baddha. Nitya Baddha means for so many millions, you don't know, for years he's been bound here and he's been taking birth again and again and again, and he's making an attempt and he's successful. He gets disentangled and he goes back. He said, this is the most amazing thing which can happen in material existence. Is it true? Is it something? Otherwise there are so many things happening, so many success, so many achievements, accomplishments, empires. You remain in material platform only, right? So Dhruva Maharaj made this and he was successful. And then the today's verse, what is spoken more about is the vision. Of course, even now I visit hospital, but this is a topic which very time the government is concerned about how many people are blind and how many blindness can be removed. I mean, of course, most of the blindness, and we'll talk about even Thane district where we belong to, like our hospital. So there is an estimated so many lakhs of people who have cataract and they are planning that how we can take out their cataract. It's a very nice thing. So you remove the cataract and they get certain vision. Of course, we all need eyes. These eyes is important. Because of eyes, you can read, can have darshan. But that vision And when you take out that cataract and you should see the feelings in the person's eyes, you know. Oh, I can see. And this is just a cataract. Now, that is what is discussed about, you know, how we can eradicate blind, how we can do this. But this is just a material vision. And even in this material vision what we have, there is so much sophistication. We need this piece of glass to see, you know, better. Then there are very advanced things. Actually, science, it has, but they don't have how to explain it. But you know that you can see without these eyes also. There are experiences. A person can see. And there are people who have the siddhi. They can see with their eyes covered. They can drive a car. The eyes are completely covered, blind. Means they can still see. That means, for even for a material vision, it's not that you need this flesh and this. You can still see. Not everyone. Now if you get a cataract, you can't see. So in science, this is medical science, a person who is blind by birth, he has never ever seen anything in this world. He has no experience. He's blind. But when he goes through some near-death experience, and this is a fact, it is documented, it is not some imagination. So this person on the operation table, he is going through a near death because, you know, he's total anesthesia. Now he can see. He sees. Till that time he has only heard the voice of who is speaking. Because he could not see and he has never seen. But now he sees it. He can remember. And then when he comes back to consciousness, then when he hears the voice of this person, he knows how he looks like. Now how will you explain this? Can you explain this? So only way you can explain is the subtle body comes out of at that time. And now the subtle body has also eyes. Now that eyes doesn't need this eye. Because this is a defective eyes. You know, the retina is damaged by birth. So when he sees really. But again when he goes back, again he's blind. Now he can't see because his eyes are defective. That means, so even for a material vision also, it is not that this is the only vision, there is something more to see. And in our Vedic scriptures, we have such several stories. Of course, Dhritarashtra was both spiritually and materially blind. He was blind, but he was spiritually also blind because he could not. But then the famous story of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He was blind, but he could see. And he wrote, and he transformed people's heart just by being a blind person. Then there is Surdas. Surdas has written, he was blind person. So that type of a vision, even though materially blind, but they can have a clear vision of everything happening around. And in our next to Barsana, we have more Kutir. The recent history, there was a saint who was blind, but he could draw. And he has painted Radha and Krishna's, you know, the dance, which is a very famous painting, is still there. He was completely blind. So material blindness is not the, or the vision is not the qualification. It is the Divya Chakshu. And that, by Lord's mercy, is awakened when a person lives a life the way Dhruv Maharaj lived. He was he was absorbed in his life, and when the right time came, he was detached, he prepared, and then he had a direct vision of an aeroplane coming. Of course, there is one description of, you know, someone passing away. Otherwise, most of the time we have how many people, like how did Bhishma pass away, or many other Narada Muni suddenly changing. It was like a flash. And then he became Narada. So, but this is something where there is such vivid description, like today's words, what he saw through these eyes. Amazing. But then just few verses before this, it is said that how the transformation happened. You know, how his soul completely became detached from this body. The example given about the coconut, how it gets disentangled, I mean, it detaches from the hard part. And then he had tears, his body started shivering, his hair started standing. And then the last thing. So it is itself a science of awakening this Divya Chakshu. And this is what is the goal of life as far as human beings concerned. This is what is the potential. But not just removing the cataract. Just removing the cataract is not the one which, because of ignorance, no one has any much understanding. So much money is invested for that. That's a very good work. But because no idea about it, that no investment for this. And that's what Prabhupada came to give us. So I was just reading about that. There are five levels of, you know, worshippers. One is you worship Lord Krishna as your heart and soul. That is pure. This is also one vision. Now, many times we sit here in the temple, you can see, I sometimes observe, people, visitors, they see this and they are very curious, what is there up? So I see someone, they come up to here, they look at Prabhupada, they look there, and they don't find anything interesting, they go out. And then you see some person coming, oh, beautiful. And they see, oh, beautifully decorated. And then you see some person, they come there, they go up to there, they offer their pranams. And they pray. Because, and there are some, obviously, their heart is, they fall, offer dandavats, and I don't know what. So these are all different levels of vision, different level of consciousness. So it is not just the perception, it is not just seeing through the eyes, you know, it is also comprehension that how far your consciousness is developed. Like, you know, a few weeks back we had our governor. Everyone saw. If you didn't have comprehension, what would you have taught? He's such a simple man. Huh? If he was alone, suppose, you know, if you find somewhere else, he's sitting there, no one would even bother him to look at him. But you know, he's a governor. So that knowledge, that comprehension, that realization, oh yes, he's not an ordinary person. Everyone was attentively hearing and how he's looking and how he looks, how his eyes are. So these different types of perceptions are also not just, it's not just the perception which is. So one level is where you see the Lord as this and you completely surrender that this is what. The second level, you see the Lord, but then you have your own personal thing to ask for, you know, my Lord. Chaturbhuja bhajan. What is that? Bhagavad Gita. All the four types of people who come with the distress and wealth and curiosity. So that is also one. But it is definitely not to surrender. But then the third level is they don't worship the Supreme Lord, they worship demigods. That is one part of the Lord is energy, not exactly in a form, of course, energy in a form. That is demigods. And the fourth one is those who worship the universal form. Now, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that universal form is an imaginary form. Then why is it mentioned? Because it's the energy of the Lord. You see that form. So there are still many tribals and all. They worship the mountain. They see my own. They see the trees and universal form. And the last one is, these are all at spiritual level. And the last one is Brahman. One who is seeking that eventually that everything, the final, everything is Brahman. And our Vaishnava scripture says that is Kevala Narakayati. It is worse than going to hell. This is the level of. So the vision what we are talking about here is very personal. So beyond this Brahman, there is variegatedness, there is a civilization, there is a society, there are people there, there is relationships, there is interactions. And what we are experiencing here is a perverted, and there is an original. So through in this few verses where Prabhupada is giving us an idea about what is actually devotion. That's what Prabhupada gave. So that reminds me of one very important verse from Bhagavad Gita. This is from the 11th chapter. Again, Arjuna wanted, so Lord gave him the vision. So Arjuna saw the universal form. And Arjuna was such a kshatriya, he was so fearless, nothing, he was not fearful of anything. But when he saw the universal form, he said, no, I don't want to see this form. So the Lord showed him the 400 form. He said, no. Then he came back to the 200 form, that is what is. So when he showed him that form, then the Lord is saying here that you can see this form. Bhaktyatu ananyaya, bhaktyatu ananyaya shakya aham evam vidorjuna, jnatum drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So to have darshan of the Lord is not something cheap. He's not the one who are singing devotional songs sometimes, you know. De darshan de. And as if by you just crying out de darshan, the Lord will come and give you darshan. You need to be so qualified, and this is what is spoken about. It's not that you cry out and the Lord will give you darshan. So this is one qualification which is very much, and then the next verse, that is the last verse of 11th chapter, is saying that mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasa mam eti pandava. Is giving all the qualifications, but how you can see him. There are several things he is saying, how you should be worshipping him and how should be not associating with, how you should be friendly with others. All these things which we are all aspiring daily for, you know, these are the qualities you should have. And then the one verse before that he says, you cannot see me by all my charity and, you know, by studying and all. The negative aspect and the positive aspect and the center part is that this is how, what is real devotion. So this is what in this verse about the vision. The vision part is explained. So even if there is perception, it's not necessarily that we should understand. Is this that same universal form also was shown to Duryodhan? He had the perception; he could see it, but he didn't have the divine vision. So when he showed it, and Krishna left. And the vision disappeared and Duryodhan was asked, what do you think, Duryodhan? Duryodhan said, what is that? This is some mystic and anyone can do that. It didn't change. So that was ultimately a declaration of war. In spite of all these things. So war was not the one which Lord proposed first. It was after all these things when Duryodhan was so arrogant. So this same vision is what Prabhupada wanted to give all of us. So there is one verse very interesting when we remember Prabhupada. I like this verse which is there, or deity worship, we chant this verse, you know, when we do our Achman. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya Divya Chakshur Atatam Tad Viprasovipanyayo ಜಾಗೃವಂ ಸ ಸಮಿಂದತಿ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ ಯತ್ ಪರಮಂ ಪದಂ. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಋಗ್ವೇದ. ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್? ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೀ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿಸ್ ಐಸ್ ದ ಸನ್ ನೌ ಬ್ರಾಡ್ ಡೇ ಲೈಟ್, ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ ಸೀನ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಕಾಮನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೀ. ಬಟ್ ದ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ವೈಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸ್ಡ್, ದ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದ ದಿವ್ಯ ಚಕ್ಷು, he can see the spiritual abode just like we can see the sun so clear. And it's not that only he can see it, he can also give that vision to others. So that is what Prabhupada, he went to the most degraded place and he never ever saw that, you know, what qualification, just imagine. So this is also one aspect of a vision. Is real vision is to see something invisible. Now if what Prabhupada faced the people, what did he see? If he said drug addicts, hippies, but a person who has real vision, it is said that how over ashes there is also fire. Someone who knows, he can bring out that fire. So Prabhupada had the vision. And with that vision, and more than vision, he had that compassion. Because of that vision and compassion, he could touch people's heart. You ask many of Prabhupada's disciples in the early days, you ask them about, what was it? He said, we didn't understand what he was speaking. His accent was, you know, Bengali accent. But we were very sure that this person is our well-wisher. He wants to give something good to us. So that's only faith they had. And that faith, they are willing to do anything. So this is what Prabhupada once was asked. Like, you know, we say that in Vedas there is all knowledge. So someone asked, Prabhupada, is there knowledge about computers in Vedas? No, means the computer was the most fascinating thing, no? About technology. So Prabhupada would answer that our technology is our Guru Sishya Parampara. And in this technology, the knowledge is passed down. And this unfolds that vision. These are technologies, isn't it? Coming down and touching people's heart and opening their vision and giving a broader vision. Isn't it a technology, one says? One says, this is our technology. Compared to all the technology, amazing things are happening, especially the mobile, and, you know, we can talk to distant places. He said, nothing can compare to this technology where a person's vision is broadened. So those, of course, it's not that many people heard Prabhupada, but then those who surrendered, who had faith and they surrendered, and they became saints. Whatever they were, they became saints. Imagine becoming a saint. So today is a very special day. So among all the saints we remembered today, about so many things, about the who were blind and this, today is Ishwarapuri disappearance day. Now we all know that Ishwarapuri was guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Supreme Lord himself. So why does he need guru? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, because he specially came as a devotee. Even if you had not come as a devotee, you had accepted Guru. Sandipa Muni as Krishna, he accepted him. So what to speak when he comes as a devotee? So when we talk about Ishwarapuri, the most important thing is remember about the relationship, how they had. It's a very different type of relationship. So in our parampara, it is said that there was a sudden change in Madhva Sampradaya, which began from Madhvendra Puri. Madhvendra Puri was the one who introduce the devotional aspect, you know, that bhava, love in separation. And Ishwarapuri, his was a real bud. Then Ishwarapuri was like a sapling, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it further and he made it into a tree. And we are coming in that parampara where the tree of devotion. So Ishwarapuri, there is not much I could read about, I didn't have time, but whatever little I can remember, especially in context to today's verse, that Ishwarapuri, when he came first time to Navadvip, no one could make out who he was. He was like an ordinary, you know, monk, renunciant. But then when he came and sat there in front of Advaita Acharya, Advaita Acharya was worshipping. So they could see that this person, see, to know someone, you need to know some. You know, it takes one to know one itself. In English you say that, you can't. So Advaita Acharya had this feeling that this person is not an ordinary person, you know, he has something. But how will you know? Externally he looks like an ordinary person. So then Mukunda Dutt was there, so he wanted to expose him. So he started singing Krishna's pastimes. So Ishwarapuri could not resist. All his bhava came out and he started rolling and tears in his eyes. And Advaita Acharya and Ishwarapuri, they embraced. So this is a time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had, still he was a Nimai Pandit. So one day Ishwarapuri saw Nimai Pandit coming from school with his books. So he saw this boy looked the way he was attracted to him. So he asked, who are you? Where do you stay? What are you carrying in your hand? Nimai Pandit folded his hands, didn't say anything. The boys around, they said, he's Nimai Pandit. He's a scholar. Oh, so Ishwarapuri said, oh, I heard you. Oh, you're a great scholar. Oh, Nimai Pandit very humbly offered and invited him home. Can you please come? And he served him. He washed his feet. He garlanded him. And Sachi Mata offered him, after offering bhoga, she offered him prasad. So this is how Nimai Pandit, even though he had not revealed his, so he had served yet him as a great personality. So much later, same time, he was there in Navadvip for many years. And Ishwarapuri used to like Gadadhar Pandit. So he had written a book, Krishna Lilamrit. So he would try to teach this boy, Gadadhar Pandit. But with Nimai, he had something. So he told Nimai, I have written this. I want to recite this. You can hear it. And please correct, you know, if there is any mistakes. So Nimai said, my Lord, I mean, he said that whatever you have written is coming directly from Krishna and Krishna will be pleased with whatever you have written. Who am I to correct it? So Ishwarapuri was very impressed by this. And then time came for Nimai Pandit to close down his pastimes because he had to establish Sankirtana. So, but just before that, he went to Gaya. So there, after going through all the pilgrimage sites, he came to the place where Vishnu's feet was worshipped. What is that place called? Vishnu Gaya, no? That where the all the main altar, we have only the Padodak Tirtha. So when he saw that, and he fainted and he collapsed, and so. Someone, I think Chandrasekhar Acharya, someone saw that. So Ishwarapuri came to know about it. That Nimai had come, and so he came to meet him. And he said, I know, I heard that these things happened. So Nimai is saying that I came here to, you know, for Pindotaka, for my, you know, my father has departed. So I came to offer this. Then, just by offering here in this place, Gaya, you know, you can liberate few of my ancestors. But just seeing you, my Lord, I mean, you, your feet, just having darshan of your feet, millions of ancestors are liberated. So this was the... And then once again he came to meet Nimai. So that is that he personally cooked for him. He put chandan on him, he garlanded him, he massaged his feet. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, showed that how a guru is worshipped. So that is what was the relationship. But the most important thing to conclude our class is again about today's this vision. Ishwarapuri is known for how he served his guru. Now, Madhavendra Puri, he was in a different bhava. There are two. One is Vipralamba, another is Sambhoga. So Madhavendra Puri was in a Vipralamba bhava. So he was sick on his bed and he was lamenting, remembering, "Oh Mathura Nath, oh Adinath, where are you? When will I meet you?" This type of lamentation, crying. So anyone externally, you'll see that, oh my God, this person is so sad, you know. He's crying. Someone should go and help him. Don't become so sad. And Ishwarapuri, his favorite disciple, he would be doing all menial service. He'll be cleaning, giving him bath, dressing him up, feeding him, and also reading him out all which to make Madhavendrapuri ecstatic. But there was one more disciple, Ramachandrapuri. He was also a disciple of same guru. So it is not necessary that, you know. Ramachandrapuri was completely of different attitude. He was having a mentality of criticizing others. So because of his criticism, he had lost Lord's mercy. So when he saw his guru, he had the audacity to instruct his guru. Why don't you fix your mind on transcendence, Brahman? Now we just heard that for a devotee it is kevala narakayati. And here he is telling that, why don't you remember? So Madhavendra, already I am having problem of this separation and this person is making it worse. So he just rebukes him, you know. This is what Ramachandra Puri, then after that he lost his, whatever he had received from his guru. So this is another example of how a person who has, a pure devotee, how he has awakened his full consciousness, what does he see at the time when he has to leave? So we are very fortunate that we are getting some understanding of what our life is meant for and how what Dhruva Maharaj lived his life and what Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that how we should live your life. So Bhagavad Gita is the scripture which is giving us some how you can live your life. Material body is important, no doubt. So most of the time the question asked is, what you do in your life, but no one asks what to do with the life. So the most important question is what to do with the life is with this type of a goal, a vision, knowledge, then the perception arises. So Prabhupada has left behind this legacy for all of us, and we are very fortunate reading Bhagavatam and understanding and especially hearing about Goswamis who have lived, so have so many positive things. So when there are negative thoughts come, someone asks Maharaj this question, this thought comes to me, then I can't have respect for this person. You know? I see something negative in this person. Then it's very difficult for me to respect. So Maharaj was saying that is natural, you will see negative, but there are so many positive things. So why not talk about positive? So we made an attempt to talk something positive. Negative was there in the Bhagavad Gita verse, which says that not by this, but positive, this by this. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. So we'll stop here. Yes, Hare Krishna.